Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today we welcome from the Flathead Conservation District, we have the program manager, Samantha Tappenbeck. Hi, Samantha.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good to have you back again.
Thanks for having me back.
How big is the district? That seems like a large area. I don't know if it is or not.
It is a fairly large area. It follows the same county line as Flathead County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we've got the most wilderness in the state, I believe.
We do. A lot of forested land.
Yeah. All right. So today we want to talk about the pollinator initiative.
Yes.
Does it have to do with the bees?
It does. Yeah. The Flathead Pollinator Initiative is one of our landowner assistance programs. It's a fairly new program for our district. And basically, it is a program that provides free wildflower seed to landowners that are interested in improving pollinator habitat on their property.
Okay, now, is it a problem? I mean, I've heard that there are fewer bees now than there were a few years ago.
Yeah, it is a growing problem. And we have lots of pollinators here in Montana. They face some of the same pressures that we're seeing across the nation. And we have all kinds of pollinators as well. So I guess I should clarify, you know, what is pollination?
Not mosquitoes, are they?
Nope. Okay. Mosquitoes are not pollinators.
So birds and bees, Robin.
Yeah. Oh.
Birds, bees, all kinds of insects. You know, there's native bees, there's honeybees, there's beetles, there's ants, all kinds of insects. And then also birds, like you mentioned, bats and small mammals.
Hmm. Okay. So the whole concept of pollination, it kind of hit home to me last year. My tomatoes didn't get pollinated like I thought they should.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. What about wasps? And are they pollinators?
Very rarely, but it is possible. So basically, pollinators take pollen from one flower and they move it to another, and that's how flowers reproduce. And 75% of the world's flowering plants rely on those animal pollinators.
What do wasps do?
What do they do? Well, wasps are actually predatory. So they actually feed on bees and other insects.
Well,
but occasionally, they'll pick up some pollen along the way. And it's kind of like an incidental pollination. Mm. They're not our main pollinators.
They'll land on your steak when you're having dinner.
That's right. True. They like meat.
Yeah, they land on me.
Yeah.
They do. They can be nasty.
When I say a pain in the patoot, I'm not kidding. They are.
Oh, sure.
You sat on one, huh?
But, you know, many of our pollinators, like bees, they have stingers as well, but they're a lot more gentle than a wasp. So a wasp tends to be a little bit more aggressive.
Well, I can put up with a bee because a bee takes care of my tomatoes.
That's right, and they're fuzzy and cute.
Yeah. And so the queen bee, that's the one we got to be careful of, because as long as she's around, there'll be bees.
The hive takes care of the queen bee, that is for sure. And, you know, a lot of our native pollinators are actually solitary. So when you think about honeybees, they're a big colonial species. So they live in the big hives, thousands of individuals, and they work very hard to protect the queen. But many of our native pollinators are like solitary bumblebees, mason bees that you don't see as frequently.
Well, I haven't seen a bumblebee in years, I don't think.
Oh.
They're around?
Well, they certainly are around. Yep. Yeah. We have several native species of bumblebees here in Montana. And if you're interested, you might want to participate in the Flathead Pollinator Initiative, because if you put flowers in your yard, they find it. You know, if you put out the forage, they'll make their way to it.
So essentially, if we put flowers in our yard, the bees will come.
Yeah, it's all about providing that habitat. So bees travel an amazing distance to find flowers and pollinate those flowers. And so if you build it, they will come, sort of thing.
So now, once they move the pollen over to the flower, how does that translate into being honey?
Well, bees are actually foraging on nectar from flowers, and they take that nectar back to the hive. They're picking up pollen kind of incidentally. They do use pollen in the hive as well. They're collecting it in little pollen sacks, and then they take it back to the hive, and they actually process that nectar and pollen through their bodies to create the honey.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of a twofold thing here.
Yes.
Now, I've heard that local honey can help build your immune system against allergies to local
Oh, that's plants, interesting.
You know, and that you're better off.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would. And I haven't heard that myself, but I'd certainly believe it. And we have a really impressive honey production here in Montana. Lots of local honey producers. It's very delicious. All right.
Now, what do we know about the disappearance or why there are fewer bees than there used to be?
Yeah, it's kind of a multi-factor pressure on bees. So they're facing habitat loss and fragmentation, excessive or improper use of pesticides and insecticides has a big effect on pollinators and local bees. Disease and parasites are another pressure, and then competition from invasive species. So a lot of our native pollinators have co-evolved with our native plant species, and so they rely on those specific plants. So if you get the loss of native plant species as the result of, you know, noxious weed infestation or something like that, it has a detrimental impact.
Oh, man, those noxious weeds. Some of them are so pretty.
Some are pretty, but they can be quite detrimental to natural systems.
Yeah, we finally got rid of them in front of our place.
Oh, good for you.
The lot in front of us, yeah. But the other thing that I'm a little concerned about is you get a big old wasp nest, and you don't want that in your home. So you spray that thing and poison it. Is that likely to have an effect on the bee population?
I'm not sure I could answer that question, but, you know, those are very direct and targeted applications. So the danger to bees and other pollinators is when you are essentially spraying chemicals onto their forage, like to flowering plants.
All right. Samantha Tappenbeck with us. We're talking bees and pollinators, all the pollinators. And how do we get involved in the pollinator initiative? That's our next question. Our guest is from the Flathead Conservation District. We have the program manager, Samantha Tappenbeck, with us. Before we get too much into this, tell us about the Flathead Conservation District. Is this a government agency?
It is essentially a government agency, and it's funded by levies on real property here in Flathead County, so county agency. And conservation districts are found in every state of the union across the nation. Here in Montana, conservation districts were started back in the Dust Bowl days, and Flathead Conservation District was founded in 1945.
Oh, that was before I was born. Well, good. Now we've cleared that up. Let's talk about the Pollinator Initiative and how we can do our part.
Yeah, so the Flathead Pollinator Initiative is very easy to get involved with. So basically, this year we have about an acre's worth of free wildflower seed that we're looking to give away to landowners that are interested in providing that pollinator habitat on their property. And it's really easy to sign up. You just go to our website, flatheadcd.org, and you can find our Pollinator Initiative webpage and just submit a little basic information about you.
Okay.
So what do we have to do with these seeds now? Does it have to be like cultivated soil, or can we just toss it out there?
Yeah, no, that's a great question and one that we often get. And so it is really important with this seed mix that the landowner does the proper site preparation to give those seeds a good home and a good start.
So we have to kind of cultivate the area and open the soil up. We can't just toss it out in the weeds.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that vegetation that's going to compete with those tiny, tiny little seeds. You got to give them a chance. And so we offer that free wildflower seed up to 2,500 square feet worth per participant. And we just ask that they do the site preparation and keep us in touch about how it's going.
Now, do you, you know, when you think of wildflowers, you go, well, they do everything themselves. But do you actually plant the seeds or do you just throw it on the surface?
It's a pretty simple planting process. You're just broadcasting the seed. Okay. And then you're doing some, you know, frequent light irrigations in the spring and giving them a chance. But then once they're established, this mix is mostly native species of wildflowers. They're adapted to this climate. They're pretty drought tolerant. And so it tends to be a pretty hardy mix.
Do they
look pretty?
Yeah.
They look so pretty. It's providing excellent wildlife habitat, mm-hmm. but it's also a really nice landscaping feature. So importantly about this mix, we are providing a number of different native species, a couple of non-native. It's a mix of annuals and perennials, and they provide all different flower colors, shapes, sizes, heights.
So some of them are perennials, so we'll never have to worry about them again.
They'll
just keep coming up.
And really, the annuals, they seed themselves as well. So I expect you would see, most of the species in this mix.
How warm does it have to be before we can plant these?
So what we recommend is that as soon as you can get in to work the site, do that if you plan to seed this spring. And if you can water the site, then shoot to get the seeds on the ground prior to June 1st.
Oh, okay.
How long does it take for them to grow?
Well, they'll be growing throughout the season. And so this mix is, it's going to provide flowers from spring until early autumn. And so if you seed in the spring, then they'll germinate in the spring once the soil temperatures warm up, and then you'll see them blooming through the fall, and then expect about the same in the following year.
And so all of this will attract a whole bunch of bees.
A bunch of bees and all kinds of beneficial insects and butterflies.
It does it. I'm taking out the lawn, John. I don't have a lawn now.
It's a great lawn alternative,
yeah,
actually.
It sure
a lot of people don't want to mess with mowing and watering and doing all that to their lawn. So this is a good alternative.
Gosh, if it wasn't for a lawn, I wouldn't have anything to do.
No, I'm sure Judy will come up with a list for you.
Oh, she's got flowers all over the place, beautiful flowers and plants and stuff. So we have plenty of plants, but we've never really ventured into wildflowers in some of our areas. And I'm kind of curious. We got to make sure it's on our own property, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Can't go do work on anyone else's property without their permission.
But might the flowers spread to the adjacent property?
They don't tend to be like a rapidly spreading mix.
All right. Say, I just want to be able to say it's not my fault. It's nature.
Yeah, it's Mother Nature's fault. You'll get in trouble for that, Robin. Yeah.
There are some pretty aggressive weed species that you probably know will spread rapidly, but these aren't them.
I need something to choke out the knapweed at my place.
Oh, yes, that's a big one.
Samantha Tappenbeck's our guest, and the financial incentives, well, that's an interesting possibility. Robin will take up with you right after this.
Our guest today, Program Manager Samantha Tappenbeck. She's with the Flathead Conservation District. We're in it right now here in the district. And we've been talking about the pollinator initiative. And I can't remember where I read it, but they said if the bee population ever dies out, mankind is finished because it's that important for pollination. So this is a good a good project that you're ramrodding. Now, as far as landowners go, how big of an area should we have? Is there a optimum?
Yeah, well, I mean, the more the better when it comes to pollinator habitat. But with the Flathead Pollinator Initiative, we encourage people to start small. So, you know, a lot of people contact us and they're like, oh, we're really interested in, you know, just kind of broadcasting the seed over our 10 acres. And really want to give those wildflower species a chance to germinate and take off. So we encourage people to start small, do the site prep, and that's why we limit the amount of seed we'll provide to 2,500 square feet max. There's no minimum size, but you can do any shape, any size up to that max you like.
So maybe you can start out in a corner of your property, and since they're perennials and annuals, you could expand out the following year, you know, kind of feel your way along.
Absolutely.
Are there financial incentives or assistance available to landowners?
Yeah, so the wildflower seed mix that we offer is free, and we'll provide that as long as the landowner will agree to do the site preparation and let us keep an eye on the site, let us know how it's going. Then we offer technical assistance as well, so we'll come out and do site visits and answer questions about site selection and preparation and any maintenance needs.
So when you talk about site selection, it would probably thrive more over here than over there?
Exactly. Okay. Where are you getting the most sun, or where are you collecting water, that sort of thing.
Okay. And where you feel comfortable about having the bees?
Right.
That's another thing.
Right. You know. And, you know, actually, a lot of people have found, myself included, that sitting down and just observing a pollinator garden is a lot of fun. I mean, you see all different kinds of species and, you know, real friendly bees come and visit, and they're very busy making their way around your garden.
Yeah, those are the ones that I want at my place, the friendly bees.
The friendly fuzzy ones.
Well, how can landowners get more information, find out more, Samantha?
So they can contact our office directly, and we have a website. It is flatheadcd.org. And you'll find the Flathead Pollinator Initiative on that website, and you can sign up right there on the website page.
Okay, flatheadcdorg.
.org.
Okay, is there a phone number to contact you or
Yeah, our
somebody?
Office line is 406-752-4220.
Okay. 4220, okay. Flathead Conservation District, Samantha Tappenbeck, filling us in.
Yeah.
On the Pollinator Initiative. It sounds like it could be a movie, doesn't it, with that name?
You know, there actually is a great movie called The Pollinators.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really? Check it out.
Okay.
Samantha, thanks so much, and we hope a lot of folks will take advantage of this opportunity.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, sure.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender. I hope you'll join us Monday for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. I believe we're going to be talking with the Superintendent of Public Instruction. Elsie Arntzen will be our guest Monday morning on Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Now, KGEZ's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.